Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Go for the Predators down in Dallas tomorrow, starting a five-game road trip. They shut out the Stars last night here, 2-0. This is the time of year where you scoreboard watch, you root for regulation games, and you check the standings because things change in a hurry. Greg Wyshynski covers the league for ESPN. ESPN.com is on the line with us. Greg, how you doing?
Doing well. Just wanted to obviously first say that everybody outside here on the West Coast is thinking about you guys and happy that it sounds like everybody is safe out there. So horrific stuff, and it was inspiring to see the NHL kind of rally to the cause with a bunch of Central Division teams who, in theory, should hate you guys, raising a ton of dough. To help out the relief efforts this week.
Yeah, we've actually talked about that. That's the beauty of sports, right? You get to make fun and poke at your rivals, and the fan bases get to go back and forth, and yet when it's, you know, it's time for somebody's in trouble or in need, then you step up. And so that's what's cool about sports. I love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, the hockey's been pretty good with that. I mean, whether it was the situation in Vegas a few years ago with the shooting, or you know, any number of different situations, it's great, and it's also great to see again like these teams leveraging their influence over their fans and sponsors and everybody else to try to funnel that money into a good cause now and again when they're not being snarky to each other.
Exactly. We had David Poile on earlier, who's back from the general manager meetings and down in Boca Raton. And wanted to ask you, with Seattle lurking around the corner, I know you've been having fun with the names and everything. Do you think this is going to be the playoff format? We talked about that with David. It's a mixed bag because, like, here we complain about the travel, and this has helped with the travel, but then you complain about the opponents are too tough. So it's just a constant complaint. I don't know what the right format is, go back to 1-8 or what you think. I guess that's what I'm asking. What do you think is the right way to do the playoff format, and where do you think it'll be, I guess, 5-10 years from now?
That's a great question. Actually, I have a piece on this coming out next week on ESPN. I've been reporting it out for the last few months, and I'll have to go back and check to see what David said about it on your show. Two things. First off, the current playoff format, I'm not a fan of it because I think they broke something that didn't – I mean, if they tried to fix something that wasn't broken. The 1-8 format was great. I thought it was equitable. The only reason they did this new format was to try to gin up as many rivalry series as they could in the first round when they know that the interest and the viewership is at its peak. So, try to get those geographic rivals playing in series and – I mean, it's worked. I mean, you've gotten some really good, interesting Toronto-Boston series and Caps and Pens and things like that, but the 1-8 was completely equitable. The whole ball game right now when it comes to the NHL and the playoffs is playoff expansion. Look no further than Major League Baseball. Look no further than the NBA. Those other leagues are talking about expanding their playoff fields, and the fact of the matter is, like you said, when Seattle joins, we're going to be up to 32 teams. We have 16 playoff teams at the moment. I think some people would say, hey, that's equitable, half the league getting in. But I think a lot of people would say, well, maybe you can expand out to play-in series for the 7, 8, 9, 10 seeds, considering how much parity that we have in the league these days. So to me, the whole ball game is going to be playoff expansion. And maybe with that comes a new look at how to seed these teams. But I'll tell you right now, the NHL is staunchly in favor of keeping it as a 16-team primary tournament, even if, there's going to be some window dressing around the outside as far as the teams that end up being the 7 and 8 seeds.
We've unfortunately had to reside to the fact that the top three in the Central probably are not changing. That's in no particular order. It's going to be St. Louis, Colorado, and Dallas, unfortunately. But I'll tell you what, the wild card spots are crazy to see how this is all going to play out down the stretch. I mean, it literally changes every night. And it did. I mean, it changed from the time we left the arena. When I signed off in postgame, the Predators were in as a wild card team. And by, you know, a little bit later, by the time I got home, Minnesota had moved into that wild card spot. How do you think the battle for the last two wild card spots are going to play out in the West?
Yeah, it's fascinating. And I think, like you said, with the top three in the Central spoken for, it really is going to depend on how the Pacific Division shakes out. And you're starting to see a little bit of separation with the Golden Knights and the Oilers from the rest of the pack a little bit. But, you know, Calgary, Vancouver, Arizona, all right in that mix. And in Vancouver's case, it's a problem with health. I think they might be one of the better teams in that pack, but, you know, until they get Jacob Markstrom, their starting goalie, back from injury, that's going to be problematic. They lost Brock Besser. That's been an impact on them, obviously, as well. So they're a team that I think could be one of those that can nail down the wild card spot or third in their own division. They just need to overcome some adversity health-wise right now. Minnesota's fascinating. That is a team that I think a lot of us counted out once they fired Bruce Boudreau, but they were in town in San Jose last night. I had a chance to speak to a bunch of the players and their coach before the game, and the fascinating thing about them right now is that they've had a discernible uptick in offensive production under Dean Evason, their new head coach, while not sacrificing the defensive game that they had under Bruce Boudreau. And the players have been saying that there's a difference in philosophy between the two coaches, where now they are taking more chances in the offensive zone, encouraged to make mistakes there in a way that they weren't under Boudreau, who I think had this team playing a bit more of a tighter defensive scheme. And you're seeing results. They're having a lot of fun. They're definitely a team that I don't think is going to all of a sudden go into a five-game tailspin. They're going to be in this thing right into the end, which is obviously discouraging news for the Predators.
In that jumbled pack, the Predators still play the Wild two more times. Okay, they still play Arizona. They have a game against Arizona. They still have a game against Winnipeg. And they still have a game against the Blackhawks, which, speaking of, how in the world has that team not faded out of the mix? They're still in that group.
Yeah, them and the Jets are two of the most inexplicable ones. The Jets, just because it just seemed like their goaltender keeps dragging them back to relevance, even as the rest of the team sputters. And in Chicago's case, I mean, it just seems like there are times we can write them off, and then all of a sudden they creep back into it. I think at the end of the day, I lack the confidence in the Blackhawks to actually cross the finish line. But, I mean, the numbers add up that they still have an opportunity. And I do wonder, though, you know, if they're going to end up playing Corey Crawford into the ground at some point. The trade of Robin Lehner to the Vegas Golden Knights means that Malcolm Subban's the backup. I can't imagine they have too much confidence in him, although there's a chance he might get a start against Detroit tonight. We might see a Malcolm Subban versus Jimmy Howard matchup between the Hawks and Red Wings tonight. So that game might end, you know, 21-20 based on how those guys have played. They're an interesting team, but I mean, there are so many teams that are in the mix that I think are better and more consistent than are the Blackhawks, but you have to give them credit for hanging around. Or, you know, to go back to a previous conversation, just give the NHL's current points format and the standings credit for keeping all these teams alive and on life support longer than they probably should be.
Greg Wyshynski is with us from ESPN, and so sticking with that theme and looking at the Predators, last night Philip Forsberg scores for the first time since January. You had Matt Duchene also score, and oh, by the way, Greg, both of those were on the power play. So some things that the Predators have been working on. What is it in your mind that hasn't worked with some of these top stars that David Poile has paid a lot of money to?
Yeah, it's been inexplicable, and I think in Forsberg's case, I'm part of the camp that thinks that John Hines should be playing this guy more than he has been playing him. Everybody knows that the average ice time has certainly dropped since Hines took over, and I think that Phillip's the kind of guy that can probably play out of his doldrums at 5-on-5 if you give him the opportunity to do so, and restricting his ice time I think is sort of detrimental to that confidence that he needs to build. But last night was was the recipe, right? Like, you know, UC Soros gives you a great game. You get goals from two of your big offensive stars. And then, of course, you know, you win the special teams battle. That's the recipe for success, and it's just been really hard for the Predators, for whatever reason, to find a way to repeat that recipe for more than a couple games at a time. And really, it does come down to that, right? Like, we are now in the home stretch of home stretches, and if you can't put together three consistent games on a regular basis going down the stretch, then, I mean, you're just going to be one step forward, two steps back, and it just seems like the Predators have been in that situation for far too long.
It's a weird conversation to have, but we've been having it lately, that Pekka is essentially the backup on this team. UC Saros has had a bulk of the starts as of late. As you mentioned, I mean, he's played well. He had the shutout last night. When Pekka has been called upon outside of Monday against Edmonton, you know, he's looked pretty solid as well. But what are your thoughts on that, as maybe we have seen the changing of the guard here in Nashville?
Yeah, and I mean, I feel like the timing of it shouldn't be too shocking. I mean, when he re-upped, Pekka, I mean, it was pretty obvious that he was re-upping to be the 1 or 1A with Soros, with the idea that this is going to be UC's team at some point in the next couple of years. And so as we reach the end of this season, to have the torch maybe being passed at this point would seem to be kind of the timeline that a lot of us assumed it was going to be on. I think that seeing him have the kind of game that he had on Monday is still shocking, because I think you're right that Pekka does seem at times, when you watch him, to have something left in the tank. But the results haven't been there lately, and then the results have certainly been there lately with Soros, both at home and on the road. So, you know, if you're looking for your path forward, I think you have to play the kid as much as you possibly can down the stretch.
Another thing that was discussed at the GM meetings, the salary cap, and all indications are it looks like it's going to go up for the first time in a couple of years. And I relate that to the Predators because Roman Josi's contract's going to kick in. You're going to have two unrestricted free agents in Granlund and Smith that David Poile held on to at the trade deadline. So I'm curious of what that means for them. But also with the expansion draft coming here in a couple seasons, what do you make of the salary cap and what certain teams might look at once we get to the summer months?
Yeah, and Granlund certainly complicating matters by having an incredible season.
Yeah.
and an incredible season under the current head coach, who you know is going to be here for more than one year. The salary cap's a tough one because, to me, you know, a lot depends on whether or not the NHL players evoke what's called the escalator, which is their decision to inflate the cap kind of artificially and create a little bit more room. That decision needs to come a heck of a lot earlier than it did this past season, which is what left a lot of teams in the lurch when all of a sudden the cap was lower than they kind of budgeted and anticipated. I will say this, though, and it's a conversation worth having. As we see more and more events impacted by coronavirus, and including here in San Jose last night, where, you know, the county recommended not having mass gatherings of people, and then the Sharks go ahead and playing their game and saying they were going to kind of see how things play out for the next few weeks. You wonder whether there's going to be some impact on playoff revenue as more municipalities have to make these decisions, as more people decide not to go and be with, you know, 18,000, 19,000 other potential carriers of the virus. It is a story that's sweeping the sports world. It's definitely impacted hockey and other nations. And I do wonder at the end of the day if revenue projections are going to be affected in the NHL by maybe a lack of hitting targets in the playoffs if this thing really starts to become a problem in other cities.
Didn't even really think about that. That's a really good point. In fact, we just learned yesterday there was a case in Williamson County here in Middle Tennessee. Wow, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, and you have a thing right now where the International Ice Hockey Federation has canceled several tournaments already around the world, world championship tournaments. You have a situation in Switzerland where they played the end of their regular season in empty arenas and then postponed their playoffs for about two or three weeks because the government ruled that you can't have mass gatherings of more than 1,000 people because of the outbreak there. It's really contingent on what local governments do, and obviously it's a team-by-team thing. The NHL, I don't think, is going to mandate anything. But it's definitely something to pay attention to. I mean, it is undeniable that it's impacting a lot of events that bring thousands of people together, including a Comic-Con in Seattle that was just canceled today.
Oh, wow.
So it's a real thing, and you know, Emily Kaplan, my colleague at ESPN, asked the NHL about it, and they are certainly forming contingency plans and things like that. But it's something that could definitely not only impact the way we watch the playoffs, but also impact ultimately the revenue coming in from the playoffs if this thing gets out of hand.
Didn't Italy just announce that they're going to play all their sporting events this month with nobody in attendance? I think they just put that out
there. Yep, and naturally, as more of those stories come out, the more jokes you hear about the Ottawa Senators and Florida Panthers home games being preparation for coronavirus.
You went there. You went there like you do. Greg, always appreciate the visit. Thanks so much, and we'll talk soon.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
All right, Greg Wyshynski covers the sport for ESPN and ESPN.com. Back to wrap up Friday's show in the week next.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.